Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. Together, we want to help Christian leaders rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is our initial episode, and I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. And together, we want to help Christian leaders, pastors, staff pastors, rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church. So, Charles, welcome. Glad to have you on our first episode.
Yeah, what an exciting day. We've been looking forward to this. And we both love the church, both love serving pastors and church leaders. And so we welcome you to the Five Gifts Podcast and just invite you to go on this journey with us. We're going to have a great time discovering how Christ intends to form and reform his church. So
perfect. So Charles, we want to introduce ourselves and take time to let people know that, you know, why we're here but maybe what brought us here. So why don't you give us a little bit of your story?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, my name is Charles Russell. I'm an ordained minister in the Assemblies of God. I've been in pastoral ministry for about 26 years, some of that in some staff positions, a big portion of that in leading turnaround churches as senior pastor or lead pastor. And so just thankful for the 26 years that we've had in helping to lead the church. I'm a coach, consultant with Church Life Resources, certified coach and speaker trainer with John Maxwell Leadership Team. I'm a nationally appointed Assemblies of God U.S. missionary, and that's been a recent thing for us. And so we've transitioned out of pastoral ministry. Now we're full-time Assemblies of God U.S. missionaries, and we serve the local church. Our mission field is to go in, come alongside pastors, church leaders, local churches, and serve them as consultants or as a coach, as a trainer, as a speaker, to help them, what I like to say is to help them raise their sails through organizational means, through systems, structures, leadership development, building teams, just helping churches be intentional. So we help them raise their sails to catch the wind of the Spirit and move forward into God's preferred future that he has ordained uniquely and specifically for them. So we are doing a lot of that kind of work, and that's over these last 26 years, kind of the journey I've been on, and that's where these years have led me to today.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then let me also add this isn't spiritual by any means, but I'm a huge fan of the Carolina Panthers, the Charlotte Hornets, and your University of North Carolina Tar Heels. Go Heels. All right.
Yeah, I give a hearty amen to those last couple of endorsements.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I've been a pastor since 1997, lead pastor at Christian Life Assembly in Gibsonville, North Carolina. So shout out to my home church. They're the phenomenal people, and I've always coveted their not only my opportunity to serve them, but boy, the way they've served me. And so I'm very, very honored to serve where I serve. I'm also a spiritual life and leadership coach. I became a certified coach in 2005 and focusing mostly on congregations and leadership. Developed that over the years into a spiritual formation approach, which I'm really excited about. And so I received my master's in 2005, and I am currently nervously waiting on approval of my dissertation, and hopefully everything's going to go through.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just submitted my first draft of every approved chapter so far. And so hopefully I can add a few more initials to my name, like I need any more. anyway, but Charles, you and I have been doing a focus on missions here in the last year. I know we've done two trips together. What were some of your thoughts about those?
Well, just phenomenal trips. I know we've taken two separate trips to the Dominican Republic and partnered together and working there. And I was trying to think through some of those meetings, and you know, we've been blessed to train over 300 pastors, church leaders in the Dominican Republic, and just amazed, humbled that the Lord would choose us to function in that kind of a role, and grateful for that. And also thankful that it seems like new territory, new doors continue to open up for us there as we, you know, endeavor to follow Jesus and helping to form his church, and build his church in the nations. And so, it's just been, just a thrilling adventure for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're both consultants with Church Life Resources. I don't think I mentioned that a few minutes ago, but that has afforded us an opportunity to share and resource pastors in the Dominican Republic. And I know those two meetings I believe it's been a blessing to those pastors, but boy, it has rejuvenated me.
Mm-hmm.
It has really helped me to hone in on some things I believe about Christ's activity in forming the church, and you know, going from that point to really to see again, to rediscover, I think, what he wants to do through the local church, and to see those Dominican pastors respond to a couple of gringos, man. You know, that has to be the Lord. But we've seen just some phenomenal things. We've seen some people healed. We've seen we've seen some pastors rejuvenated and grasp new vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just been kind of in the front seat, just watching all of this happen. And sometimes I forget that God is actually using us. You know, He's using us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But it's just incredible to see what He's doing. And so, you know, Charles, you mentioned the about 300 plus pastors so far, and we have more trips, you know, planned to go this coming year, mm-hmm. and maybe even some new territory the Lord is opening to us.
Yeah.
So, and that really is, I think, that maybe a genesis for this podcast is that we want to talk to you about some of our experiences, but more than that, what we believe about how we rediscover Christ working in the local church, and not just the local church. He doesn't work through the local church without working through people. Mm. And so that aspect of his personal work through each of us. And so this is not just a podcast for churches and church leaders. It's really a podcast for anyone who loves Christ and, you know, wants to deepen their life and his purpose and activity.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, welcome to the Five Gifts podcast. And we're excited for the journey to learn together as we continue down this pathway.
Yeah. So our podcast objective is to help people, especially Christian leaders. But again, this is for everyone. And the purpose is to help them rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church. Now, Charles, what does that mean that Christ is speaking and acting in the local church?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a huge thought to kind of begin to kind of wrap your mind around. But it's a powerful thought. And it's an encouraging thought that Christ is actively, he's active. He's dynamic. He's at work in the life of his church. And so it seems like after Paul writes the Colossians letter, he begins to be stirred about a new and an expanding revelation about the church. And so for Paul, he's beginning to see the church as Christ's body and beginning to understand the church as God's instrument to confound and to overthrow evil powers. And so for Paul, he this thought, this idea, this new understanding begins to kind of come into focus for him. And so throughout the book of Ephesians, throughout this letter, Paul begins to write and begins to elaborate on these themes of being the body, of being Christ's instrument. And so for Paul, in Paul's mind, and I agree with the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you're going to agree with somebody, he's not a bad guy to side with. So for Paul, and I agree with him, he sees the church as the center of the world, or the center of a nation, or the center of a community. And I just think that's amazing that Christ's focus in this world is not all of these other man-made and human-made structures or authorities or organizations or influences, but for Paul, as he's writing this new understanding, as he's putting pen to paper, if you will, he's recognizing and he's illustrating for us, God sees the church as the center of the world, as the center of a nation, as the center of a community, as the center of wherever the church finds herself, in an elementary school, in a high school, in the home, in the family. The church is the center of all of these contexts. And it's from this place of centrality, of being the central focus now, that Christ speaks into his church, that Christ acts through his church, and begins to fill the earth with his presence. I love how the Message paraphrase really kind of boils this down, this idea, and really communicates it to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, again, out of the Message paraphrase, it says this: the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. Man, mm-hmm. Bruce, those words have gripped me. You know, talking about some of the things you've experienced in our Dominican trips, that those words have really come alive to me in Ephesians. How Paul begins to explain the church and how God sees the church and how God speaks and acts through his church. I don't know about you. I don't know about anyone else listening. Sometimes I can get in a trap or in a kind of a weird way of thinking, wow, the church is kind of in the backseat, or maybe we're inferior to all of these other dynamics and all these other spinning forces that are in our world. And the church's voice is silenced, and there's no influence from the church. And I've never given up on the church, but when I read these words from Paul, it just brings in my mind the church back to the forefront. That's where, in the mind of Christ, that's where the church is. We are not peripheral to this world. We're not peripheral to this culture. The body of Christ is not secondary by any means to anyone, to anything, to any organization, to any power, to any authority or dominion. In the eyes of God, the church is central. And if anything, according to Paul, all of these powers, all of these influences, everything in the world is peripheral, is secondary to the church. And God has chosen to speak and to act through his church to fill the earth with his presence. And I began to think about that. We're the body of Christ. Christ is the head of his church. And, you know, my brain instructs and tells my body what to do and where to go and how to act and how to function. And we're the body of Christ, and Christ gives us direction. He gives us vision. He gives us instruction. And then he also He speaks through us. He acts in us and acts through us, but he speaks through us as an instrument. And I began to think about when I was in elementary school, when I was in the fifth grade, I began my music career, my journey through music. And I picked up a trumpet and began to play the trumpet. Now, it only lasted through eighth grade. So it was a short-lived musical journey. But again, I began to learn about instruments. And so there would come times I had to practice. I had to practice this trumpet. And so I would be at home, and it would be quiet in the home. And everyone was doing their activities. But I would, when it was time for me to practice, I would pick that instrument up and began to breathe into that instrument, began to act through that instrument. And all of a sudden, in what was a quiet home, now the whole house is filled with the sound of this instrument. There was no escaping it. There was no getting away from it. As I began to breathe through, and as I began to in this conversation, begin to speak and act through that instrument, the sound that came from that trumpet began to fill the house. And that's what God is doing. That's what Christ is doing through his church. According to Paul, as Paul begins to write this unfolding revelation, the body of Christ is central, and Christ speaks, he acts, and he speaks into his church and through his church in order to fill this earth with his presence. And so I just think it's amazing that the God of heaven and earth chooses humanity to speak into and to act as his church and to release his presence and into this earth. And so, you know, as we think about the church being central, you know, if that's the case, if that's true, and I absolutely believe it is, Christ must have a great love for his church. I mean, what do you think about that? Any thoughts?
Yeah, when I think of Ephesians, I'm thinking about, you know, it's classified as, one of Paul's greatest works, because it really doesn't seem to come out of conflict. It doesn't come out of, his response to some controversy, as much as it is just him sharing, I think divine revelation of the church and what, what he was hearing from Jesus mm-hmm. about the body of Christ. And so, you know, if you track with Paul from his early letters to his later letters, he's not changing his theology, but you see some refinements in his language. And yeah. And one of the things that I'm always stunned by is, like, for example, when he talks about spiritual adoption in Galatians, he mentions, which is a responsive kind of letter. He's addressing the controversy of the Judaizers. And he brings up adoption, and he says, you know, that God has adopted us, and he sent forth the Spirit into our hearts, and the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. But then years later, when he's writing Romans, which is more of, you know, the Romans is like Paul's, you know, yeah. his concerto. It's like his systematic theology. Many people think of not so much a response as much as it is laying out some theology. And so there's a refining, I think, when he says in Romans 8 that we have received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so you get that little switch. And mm-hmm. And so when I pick up on those things, you know, that you see in those slight refinements in Paul's writing, I see that in Ephesians. I mean, to me, Ephesians is Paul clearly and passionately articulating mm-hmm. what he has come to know about the church. Yeah. And so, you mentioned the great love that Christ has for the church. And so in Ephesians 2, this is from the New Living Translation, but, you know, God's masterpiece isn't the created universe or the worlds, but the church.
Yeah.
That he purchased with his blood. And the word the New Living Translation uses is, you know, the body of Christ is Christ's masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about that. That's the artist's expression. You know, Jesus was the Logos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the perfect visual representation of God. I mean, he's fully God and fully man, that perfect expression, that word of the Father. And so when I think of the church being God's masterpiece, I'm just blown away that kind of language, because you know, Paul speaks of it in terms of something that God has created and formed, and it has its uniqueness. It has the bearing of his mind and his heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, looking at that passage, in fact, I'm going to read Ephesians 2 verse 10 to get a really good picture of that. And okay. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, but verse 4 begins, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us." So this is an activity of God that's flowing out directly out of his redeeming love. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And we're going to talk about that
mm-hmm.
In a little bit, that Christ rising and the fact that we have been seated with him in heavenly places. Verse 7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship,
yeah,
created in Christ Jesus for good works." Workmanship, masterpiece, you know, same wording. But it's God's expression. It reflects the design, the heart, the spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of a theology geek, and so I don't have to throw them around because people don't know what you're talking about, but I love to think in terms of soteriology and uh-huh. pneumatology and Christology and ecclesiology so when you think of the church, the ecclesia, mm-hmm. but that is the, like you mentioned earlier, that's the center. That's where God is working. And so to me, you know, all that we believe theologically, whether it's the Christology, Christ, yeah. our theology of Christ, or pneumatology, or soteriology, all of those are wrapped up in the ecclesiology, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand the church through the activity of God, and so then that's clear. And so, you know, what you see following like in verse, closer to verse 20, in fact, verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners." In other words, you're not outside of this. You've been,
mm-hmm.
been brought in to God's activity. You've been brought into his kingdom and his family. Those are some other expressions. You're not strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens.
Yeah.
With the saints and members of the household of God. And then verse 20 says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone." And, you know, I think we've understood historically that prophets and apostles are titles. They are key figures in biblical history that give us an understanding of what God is doing and how he's acted. Mm-hmm. In history, the prophets, you know, giving revelation, bringing correction, bringing rebuke, bringing foretelling things that would be happening, and then the apostles, we prize those 12, 11, but those 11 who were with Jesus, walked with him, yeah. and And then, you know, the adding of Matthias in Acts, but mm-hmm. and then the coming of the Apostle Paul, and they helped found the church. They gave it, they helped form it. The only thing is in verse 20, that idea is that I can't see where that's like an isolated mm-hmm. work of God's activity. I still think the church is being built on prophets and apostles. And maybe a better expression of that would be the work of apostles and prophets, or maybe even better, apostolic works and prophetic works.
Yeah.
And we'll talk some more about that in just a minute. But these giftings, a lot of people like to elevate those. And just full disclosure here, when I told my wife what our podcast was about, she said, "You're not going to get cards printed up and calling yourselves apostles and prophets, are you?" Absolutely not. I'm just a follower of Jesus, and I teach and try to help others know Jesus and you know, and lead a local church and do some coaching and do some missions work. But but there is an unmistakable need for the apostolic and the prophetic workings of the Spirit in the church today to keep it in its forming and shaping and growing. And so thinking along those lines, people tend to elevate prophets and apostles. I mean, you know, we've dealt with this somewhat in the Dominican Republic, but that culture mm-hmm. that wants to grab a title and, you know, that's not just in the DR either, if we're honest, that happens a lot of places. And for the something about those words that when they're translated to titles, man, people feel like it elevates them perhaps. Mm-hmm. And the church looks at apostles and prophets. We're not just simple pastors and leaders. No, we are apostles mm-hmm. and prophets. And I'm not here to diminish any person's use of a title, but my big emphasis is we want the function. We want the activity. We want the leading that is apostolic. We want leadership that is prophetic. Mm-hmm. And so you see these mentioned first because they're formational pieces. When it comes to the forming of the church, it's the apostles and the prophets. And I don't necessarily think that they're elevated statuses as much as, you know, what we've come to learn is it's kind of like you're building your learning and your education. You go first grade, second grade, third grade, mm-hmm. fourth grade, fifth grade. You have to have steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like in God's activity that he initiates through the apostolic gifting
mm-hmm.
Or the activities of the apostolic in nature and then prophetic in nature. Those are key formational steps into what's becoming a much larger whole.
Yeah.
So Charles, how would you explain how the Bible and Ephesians describe these roles in relationship to church leadership?
Well, you know, as we read through Ephesians, it becomes clear that Ephesians unveils the mystery of the church, probably like no other epistle. God's secret intentions are beginning to be revealed in this letter. Number one, to form a body that expresses the fullness of Christ on the earth. We talked about that, him speaking and acting. So the mystery, the secret is, again, number one, to form a body that expresses the fullness of Christ's presence. Secondly, to do this by uniting one people, both Jew and Gentile, to be one people with whom God dwells. And what a powerful word that is, to, you know, dwell. When I think of dwell, it's not just stopping in for a visit, not just just checking in to see how you're doing, but it's like I'm here and I'm going to dwell with you. And so Christ forming a body of people, a body of believers, with whom he dwells. To me, that's just powerful to think about Christ dwelling with us. And then third, you know, a third component or part of kind of this mystery of the church, where Christ equips, he empowers, he matures this people that he's forming to the end that we are building, that we are with him in building his church and advancing the kingdom of God, pushing back darkness, and again, to build his church, to advance his kingdom. And so, you know, with kind of those thoughts in mind, Paul, we can read there around Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 9, he begins to declare the mystery of the church, which has been hidden for, you know, for generations, all of a sudden begins to surface into reality after Christ's ascension. In verse 5, the Holy Spirit declares that this masterpiece that you talked about, the church, is being made known to the apostles and to the prophets. Again, not because of they're more important, because of this order. And I think we can read through Scripture, God, we can look at creation and see that God is a God of order. And even in our own lives, we can testify that God is a God of process. He brings us through processes to refine us and what we might call discipleship. But he's being made known to the apostles and prophets. Again, like first grade comes before second grade. I was thinking about that. I was at a t-ball game years ago, is watching these little t-ballers play their game, and they're having the time of their life. And this one little boy gets up and he goes to bat, and he swings, he makes contact, and the ball just sails off of that tee out into the outfield, and it is mass pandemonium as the outfielders are just running, circling, trying to field the ball. And this little kid, he's running as fast as he can. He touches first base, and the first base coach says, he's waving the kid through, and he's saying, go to third. And what the first base coach failed to realize that he was looking at the end result, and he failed to tell this kid he needed to go to second base before he went to third. And so he's screaming, he's waving his arm, telling this little boy, go to third. And so the kid touches first base and skips second, and he just runs diagonally across the ball field, almost knocks the pitcher down as he goes over the pitcher's mound, and he makes it safely to third. But he never touched second. He went out of order. And they tagged him, and he was out. And anyway, it was the waterworks were on. But God reveals these things in order to us, and the church, the mystery, the church being revealed to apostles, the prophets first. Again, not because of importance, because of order, and the reason the apostles and prophets received this revelation is that the hunger for God is initiated and stirred by the apostolic and the prophetic works that you talked about. It is through the function of these apostolic gifts, through the function of prophetic gifts, that the hunger for God is initiated and stirred. It moves us. It launches us. It propels us into this future that God has called for us, or called us to enter into. And so it's critical. I mean, it's foundational to this formation of the church, the apostolic function, the apostolic gifts, the prophetic function, prophetic gifts are in action, because that's what stirs up the hunger and thirst within the body of Christ to reach for more, to not stop at first, but to go to third. You know, I mean, we got to hit second base first, but to not just settle, but to press in, to long for, to strive for all that God is doing, for for the fullness of Christ's presence and to be that instrument that God can speak in and act through. It is the apostolic gifts and the prophetic gifts, those functions, as they are released, that begins to stir up hunger and thirst within the body. And so, you know, there always has to be a starting point, but you never stay at the point where you started. There's always more. There's a next step. There's an unfolding of the plan. And so, Bruce, you know, if God is if God began with the the apostles and prophets, and we're talking about apostolic function, prophetic function, if that's where Christ begins with his church, how does he initiate the rest of his plan, so that so that we don't stay in a place of elevating prophets and apostles or prophetic mm-hmm. and apostolic function, but so that we begin to see the fullness of Christ's presence, the fullness of Christ's gifts being on display yeah. or being at work.
Well, you know, the thing that kind of informs that for me is how Ephesians 4 speaks of Christ being raised, his ascension, which obviously follows the resurrection. It changes everything. We think of how the resurrection impacted, you know, everyone that was hearing the news when he meets with the disciples, the night of the resurrection, where he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he says, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's clear biblical history. And yet when Paul writes Ephesians and he's giving this this vision of the formation of the church, he says that's where it happened. That's where Christ, when he was raised and he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That's verse 7, Ephesians 4. And he gave gifts to men.
Yeah.
And those gifts begin to describe, or he begins to describe, five gifts, and that's really the genesis for the name of our podcast, the Five Gifts Podcast, because we adamantly believe in the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and those are the outlay of how Paul describes what Jesus gave in terms of those initial gifts to the church. I use initial not because they're the only gifts or because it's contained in the, there's obviously other spiritual gifts, but these are gifts that form the church. These are gifts that give it its shape and its structure and its strength. And so, you know, Ephesians 4 starts giving us this unfolding of the plan. Yeah, and you know that I think something that people fail to realize is that when Paul writes Ephesians, obviously it happens after the day of Pentecost. It happens after his own Damascus Road experience. It happens after even the church at Ephesus is formed and established in Acts 19 and 20, and yet Ephesians is written before Luke.
Yeah.
Puts the history of Acts down on papyrus and sends it out. And so what you get from Paul is this initial vision of how Christ formed the church. And when he talks about it, he goes right to the resurrection. And he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And, you know, I'm reminded when Peter on the day of Pentecost, when everyone's around Solomon's portico, they're all out, you know, Pentecost is basically spilled out into the marketplace.
Yeah.
And everyone's listening on and they're asking what must we do to be saved? Well, in the lead up to that, Peter says that, that Jesus, who is now exalted and risen, and his ascended, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, he has poured out this, which you now hear and see. And so to me, this is Paul basically giving almost like his perspective, you know, by revelation on
mm-hmm.
what Peter's saying, the outpouring of the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit to that forms the church. And so what Paul gives us is in that outpouring of the Spirit, there is the giftings.
Yeah.
Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And, you know, we're going to get more into, over the course of our podcast, we'll get more into what each of those gifts mean in terms of mm-hmm. character and in terms of responsibility and their nature. But by and large, you see this dramatic shift where the ascended Jesus now establishes his church, and it's through these gifts that he begins to fill the church. And, you know, I'm a spiritual formation guy. Mm-hmm. And so, man, Ephesians 4 is crucial to what I believe about how people grow.
Yeah.
And we're taught that those gifts are for the equipping of the saints. So they're God's gift to help this church be equipped. And, you know, I believe the word equip has a couple of meanings. One is that it does mean to prepare. In fact, it's a similar word is used when Jesus comes on the disciples and they're mending their nets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting those nets ready for launching out and bringing in a haul of fish. But it was also used in kind of the Koine Greek, New Testament Greek, mm-hmm. to describe what a physician does when he sets a bone.
Mm.
And so, you know, that kind of spiritual leadership, the five gifts, there's a preparing, but there's also a repairing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to heal. They have to be in place to help people get whole. And the purpose is that we would all come mm-hmm. to unity and grow into I love this expression, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Wow. Yeah.
Those five gifts are essential for churches looking like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's one of the glories of being a spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. Not that it's a glorious position. Sometimes it is as hard as all get out, but the call to help people become more like Jesus.
Yeah.
So Paul says, Paul even says, I'm laboring until Christ is formed in you. And that really is the heart of the five gifts, I think,
mm-hmm.
working together. So Charles, is there anything else you would add to that? I mean, I when I think of those, I think of, and we'll get into the specifics, you know, as we endure in our podcast, but I just think that's probably the place to launch, is that the five gifts are about growing the body of Christ to be more like Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as the individually, as the body of Christ, finding my place in his body, finding my place in the functioning of those gifts in my life and through my life. So that, you know, we began talking about how the church is Christ's body, and through in which he speaks and acts, in which he speaks and through which he acts, by which he fills the earth with his presence. And just individually, I'm a part of the church. We, you know, the church building is where the church goes to. That's where we gather. But the church is right here, right now. It's yeah. us as the people of God. And so finding my place in giftedness, finding my place in this, in function through these five gifts, not only strengthens me, but it strengthens the local church as I bring my gifts, as I bring the function of those gifts into the local church. I think it's exciting. I'm looking forward to exploring and discovering how, as leaders, as pastors, we steward these gifts that Christ has given us to form his church. And I really liked what you said about the equipping part of this, you know, equipping the body in repairing, setting the bone, repairing something needs to be repaired in order to be healed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the work that we're doing now as missionaries, we're working with churches where, or our heart is to work with churches and pastors where the bone, something's broken and it needs to be set. It needs to be repaired in order for that church to be healed. And, that really has just resonated with me this morning hearing you talk about that. And, I'd just like to lead us in just in a moment of prayer, just to pray for us, pray for those who are connected in with us on the podcast. Let's just take a moment and hey, listen, if that's you, if you're with us today, maybe in your personal life, just the life that you're trying to lead, you're trying to navigate every day, you just sense there's something broken. Can I just speak to you for a moment that as we pray, would you ask the great physician, would you ask Jesus to come and just begin to equip or to begin to repair, set the bone, whatever it is that's broken, allow his presence, allow his spirit just to be released into your life. If you're Amen. A pastor, if you're a church leader and you're just like, listen, we've tried, we try, we try, we just keep hitting a dead end road. Would you just allow the Spirit of the Lord that's, as you're listening to this podcast, just to begin to take what's broken and to set the bone. So Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are a merciful God. Just give you praise for who you are. And we thank you that we are your body. You've chosen us. We thank you that you've chosen your body to speak in and to act in. And that through your body, you will fill this earth with your presence. But Lord, right now, as we talked about this idea of being equipped, Lord, I just pray for the individual. I pray for the church right now, God, that where there's something that's broken, that's cutting off, that's hindering, that's impeding the flow of your presence, that is disrupting the flow of the life of Christ in their life or in that church. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to release your gifts. You would open our eyes, give us ears to hear what it is you're saying and what you're doing so that we can begin to identify and recognize where you're releasing your gifts in our life, in the churches that we serve. And God, that you would begin to equip, you would begin to set the bone, you would begin to repair and to heal what's broken, so that the life of Christ, so that the fullness of Christ is released and is flowing, so that you are speaking and acting in us, and that through us you are filling our homes and our families, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities, our states, our country. You are filling this entire earth with your presence through your church. God, equip us. Equip us with your gifts and with the proper understanding of how to function in those gifts. Take what's broken, Lord. Heal us, repair us, equip us to be your church, to be your body that you speak in, that you act in, and that you work through to fill this earth with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Charles, this has been energizing for me to hear.
Absolutely.
And review some things that we firmly believe about the local church and about God's activity through it. And we want you to, this is our initial episode, and you can help us out by hitting the subscribe button. You can get alerts and stay connected with our latest podcast episodes. You can also share this with friends, post it to your Facebook page. We encourage as much social media interaction as possible. And our plan is to release a podcast at least once a week. And you'll be seeing some guests from time to time as Charles and I maybe need other people talking instead of us. But we believe you're going to find some tremendous enrichment. In the links below and things like the show notes and the more info section, you'll find information about consulting and coaching availability. Charles has a robust schedule with churches and pastors, and you'll have his contact information below as well as mine if you're interested in some personal coaching. And we hope to see you soon on our next podcast. And this is us signing off. We will see you later.
Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Five Gifts Podcast. See you next time.